Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. Today is Tuesday, and it's the 14th of Cheshvan Tavshin Pei Gimel, November 8th, 2022. This is our 21st Vod B'Yayin Hara. Baruch Hashem, thank you very much for being here to learn with us. The first announcement we have today is that we are human. And let me explain. We've said that the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim states that Yahulubo rose gedolos utuchupo. Sometimes people suffer great suffering, chas v'shalom, great challenges, and they are consecutive. And they seem to be in quick succession. The mamono ubonov v'gupo. This is talking about none other than Eov, as you know. People suffer challenges and hardships with their money, with their parnasa, and also with their children, their relationships, and also with their health, with their bodies. And sometimes it seems to be lelo chet, without any sin that caused it. This was the dilemma of Eov, as you've heard probably a half a dozen times. We're going to center our attention on one of those three types of crises today. It has to do with interpersonal relationships. And the mistake that some people make is that sometimes we feel that we're not human, that we're supposed to be better than human, greater than human. But who is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu among all human beings? He's called the Mifchar B'min Ha'anoshi. He's most chosen of human beings. Did Moshe Rabbeinu make any mistakes? And if he made any mistakes, did he recover? Did he recover partially or fully? As we quoted the Rambam before, sometimes we have crises with our children or relatives. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we started to say, had a very major crisis and challenge with his cousin Korach. And we began talking about it a few weeks ago, but we're going to backtrack. And this is new material. This is something we didn't talk about. First of all, what caused the Korach uprising? Whose fault was it? Can we point fingers? Who caused the rebellion of Korach? What do we think? Usually the answer is usually, naturally, Korach. He was the person. The Maseilas Yesharim says he craved honor. And the 250 men, the Reish Lakish, they wanted to bring Ketores, they wanted to be Kohanim. They were firstborn who wanted to have their Avoda back. But listen to this Chafetz Chaim. He's found in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon and Shmos. You might be particular. I mean, you might particularly be acquainted with it. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, Ulfini Ostaiti, F. Shalomar. According to my humble opinion, it's possible to say, Shebazesh Omar, that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Hain lo yaminu li. Now, we know the word Hain. What does it mean here? Does it mean they? No, because then it would have said Hain with a man. Hain is the Lashon of Hine, behold. At the burning bush, at the snare, when Hashem told Moshe, go save Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Hain lo yaminu li. Behold, they will not believe in me. They won't believe me when I tell them that Hashem sent me to redeem them from Mitzrayim. When Moshe said that, asserts the Chafetz Chaim, Goram, he caused sheyimatzu anoshim, that people will be found, sheyefakfiku benevuaso, who will doubt his prophecy. Isn't that absolutely remarkably surprising that Moshe Rabbeinu caused the Korach rebellion? Moshe said, I know they're not going to believe in me. So he said, for sure? But then there were people who didn't believe in him. Kamash said to Korach, the Chafetz Chaim says. Well, that sounds like a major failure, doesn't it? But people sometimes are pessimistic. So when we're pessimistic, we can learn from here that we should avoid saying words of pessimism. It would be very advisable because sometimes we can plant the seeds for that to happen. But there is recovery, as we're going to talk about. Well, we have a question. Yes, when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing, but the question is, did he get tzaras? Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at the snare, and he got two punishments, Chazal say. What was the first one that he got for saying Lashon Hara about Bnei Yisrael, besides pessimism? He said, Bnei Yisrael won't believe me. So what was the first punishment? Hashem said, Mazeh biyadecha. What is this in your hand? And he said, he has a rod, he has a stick, and he was told to throw it down. He became a snake. And that, we know, is brought in other places, represented the Nachash, who said Lashon Hara about Hashem. in Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem said, you said Lashon Hara b'Pnei Yisrael, so therefore you deserve to be scared by this snake. And it says Moshe ran away from it. People often don't remember that pasuk. And he also got tzaras at that moment. Why? For saying Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. It's all about negativity and pessimism. Moshe Rabbeinu is the negative one and the pessimist. That wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, but he did have this mida that Hashem instructed him and guided him that he needed to work on to become more positive and optimistic about himself and about Christ and about his career, about his relationship. Yes, there's a question. Right, it says, lo yaminu li, they will not believe me.
Is that also from that he didn't believe that he would believe in himself?
Right. That's an excellent point. If Moshe Rabbeinu was positive, the word hein is hine. If Moshe Rabbeinu was so sure, and he said, they won't believe me, that means he is not just lacking faith in their kokos, but in his own as well. And we know this is the root of a lack of bitachon, because we said you have to trust in yourself too. We've talked about it before. You can hear it in the former shiur. That's correct. You won't love other people. You won't believe in their abilities. And you won't believe in their kedusha and their special qualities unless one believes in himself and his ability. Because we have Betzalel Elokim. When I believe in myself, I'm believing in Hashem. Because Betzalel Elokim also has Adam. I believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, and that manifests itself in the belief in myself and my own abilities that I have, that Hashem has invested me with. Yes.
So on that vein, is it also that vein?
Right. So then Moshe Rabbeinu was skeptical about what Hashem told him to do, and he didn't have enough positive faith in what Hashem told him. It's all a lack of emunah of some sort, and that we already know that the Chofetz Chaim says in another place. He could have switched one letter and said, "Hen lo yaminu li," lest, maybe, what if they don't believe me? But he said, "Hein." Hein is definite. So we learn from here, don't be sure that things are going to turn out terribly, Chas v'Shalom. Don't be so sure in the beginning you think it's going to turn out terrible. That's what he said in the beginning. It's going to be a disaster. And Hashem says, don't say it's going to be a disaster. You have a snake that's going to chase you if you do that. You have a tzaras. So let's get on to the positive mindset and don't be pessimistic. And you can create positivity and success through positive attitude and optimism.
So the fact that Moshe
Yes. Right.
So does that mean like we don't have to worry what the outcome is?
Right. We're not supposed to be totally outcome oriented. That's what we're learning about today. And that launches us into what the discussion is going to be. It's all about, we're learning about this science of hishtadlus. What is hishtadlus that we have to do? So our hishtadlus is what we have to do. And we're going to learn why we have to do it, how much we have to do. And I wanted to mention this, what Moshe Rabbeinu got himself into a mess. And also it says that even though the outcome was okay, by the way, the Chofetz Chaim points out, Hashem went ahead and he revealed the MS and Nisgalsa Amitas Nivuasa Le'enekol. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu, the authenticity of his prophecy was revealed to everybody. It was abundantly clear, without a doubt. It says this in the Psukim. But still, Mitchilo Hoya Al Yedei Korach Dasan Vaviram Tsar Gadol. Moshe went through a tsar because of this. So this shows us that when we have relationship crises, and we say to ourselves, this is not going to be good. Stop right there. Don't say that's not going to be good. Don't think that it's not going to be good. Say it's going to be good. Think that it's going to be good. And even if in the beginning we said it's not going to be good, and we also did some damage, Chas v'Shalom, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. He actually planted the seeds for the Korach uprising, but there's still hope even after that. We are human beings. That's how we started out today. We said we have an announcement. We're human beings. We fall, we fail, but we also have hope. We can pick ourselves up. If we were pessimistic, we can now change. Okay, this is the beginning. This moment, I can be optimistic, and it will turn out okay. There was suffering in the middle, but it turned out okay. So we can still be optimistic that things will turn out okay. Parnasa, help, and also relationships.
Does that mean, like, in his mind, he said what he was saying, he's feeling pessimistic. But does that mean that if Hashem gives us a mitzvah that we have to do?
Right, if Hashem gives us a mitzvah we have to do.
We feel pessimistic, do we have to kind of say, no, Hashem said it, so...
Yes, we have, right, we have to say, I'm going to be optimistic. Hashem told me to do this mitzvah, I'm going to be optimistic, I'm going to do it, I'll be able to do it. Yes, 100%. And also, even if you don't feel it, right. Okay? So anyway, there was another thing, Korach, the Korach uprising. Before we get to talk about Hishtadlus one more time, the reason I'm doing this is because I want to tell you a story. It's a funny story, but it's also very morbid. But the main thing is that it's funny. It's about pessimism. So I got a phone call from a nurse for in the intake before surgery. And she was going through, and this happened literally yesterday. And she said, we have to go through a few questions before the next surgery. And she's asking certain things, what medicines? And then in the middle, she says, oh, and are you still using Roselawn Cemetery? And I said to myself, Roselawn Cemetery? I hope that you have more faith in your ability to perform surgery than that. And she says, oh, I'm so sorry. I meant Roselawn Pharmacy. So I said to myself, and then she said, I feel terrible. And then she said, Roselawn Cemetery. It was a beautiful cemetery, by the way. But I really didn't mean that. And then it hit me. That was just an error. I said to myself, you know what? Sometimes when people hear that they're sick, chas v'shalom, it should register in their minds, the Ribbono Shel Olam will help me, and he'll send the pharmacy, not the cemetery. He'll send the doctors. But some people, when they hear pharmacy, to them it's cemetery. In the beginning, they're doomed. And chas v'shalom, that's not what it's supposed to be. Moshe Rabbeinu is hang lo yaminu li. It's doomed from the beginning. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, maza biyadecha. Yeah, what is this? You have a rod in your hand. Put it down. It's a snake. It's going to chase you because you have to realize you can't be negative like that. So Ras comes because of negativity and pessimism. And there was another time that Moshe Rabbeinu had. He had another chance to even redeem himself, as we already talked about. This is a little bit of review. Later on, by Matan Torah. Now he says this over to Klal Yisrael in Parshas Veschanan. Again, a thing with the Maisa Korach. This is all before Korach happened. So first, it seems he kind of decreed that some people would be skeptical about his nevuah by saying Hein lo yaminili. So what do I get out of that? Don't say Hein lo yaminili. Don't say it's going to come out terrible. No, don't say it's going to come out terrible. It's going to come out okay. It first of all, it can come out okay. That's step one. First of all, it is able to be okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of how much? He's capable of everything. That's number one. Number two, he will make it come out the best. That's the Ratzon Hashem. He'll make it come out perfect. What's perfect? It could be perfectly imperfect, maybe. And that's also perfect. But not pessimism, only optimism. And might be talking, as we learned in Vad number one, 21 Vadim ago, we said that the more B'tochen we have, then the more Yeshua we have. It's Mida K'neged Mida. Now Moshe Rabbeinu's other chance, we already said, and he tells this to Klal Yisrael in Parshas Veschanan, that when Hashem said to him, Mi Yitein V'Hoyol Avavam Zeh, oh, if only the B'nai Yisrael would always have Yirat Shamayim. This was by Matan Torah before Maaseh Korach happened, and it was supposed to be Moshe Rabbeinu's cue. Mi'itain means halavai, if only. But Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to take the cue and say, okay, whoever was there at that vad, what was he supposed to say? When Hashem said mi'itain, what's he supposed to say? Tain atah. Hashem, oh, he gave me an opening. Thank you so much. Tain atah. Who will give them the Yiras Shemayim? Who will inject us with Yiras Shemayim? Who will give us doses of divine assistance to fear you, Hashem? You give us those doses of divine assistance. You can be the one. I'm reading the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, but it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. It says Shagag Moshe. Now he's not saying the exact lashon of the Gemara. It's the Aruch Chaim, Parshas Veschanan, Perek Hey, and Pasuk Chav Hey. And this is Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael, Shagag Moshe. Moshe made a mistake. Shalom Amar Lo Tein Atah. That he didn't say to Hashem, Hashem, you give them Yiras Shemayim. You give them Bitachon and Emunah. I can say to Hashem, I have a hard time with Bitachon. Ribbono Shel Olam, Tein Atah. Please give it to me. Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole career is a learning experience. Elo Haya Omer Kane, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, this is Chazara for you if you were at that Vad. Lo hoyu mahar harin achar Moshe. If he would have said so, people would not second guess him. Nobody would think about his nevuah, think twice about it. Lo b'shiluach meraglim, not with the sending of the spies. Ve lo b'machlokis Korach, And not with the uprising, the dispute of Korach, which shows us what are we able to do. We're able to daven that Hashem should give us bitachon. Tein Hashem yitin chachma. Tein atah. Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, that means if you put all this together, I'm just joining together a chafet chaim neshmir salashon, which is in Perek Yud Gimel. It's in the Shmos part, together with the Arachaim HaKadosh and Veschanim. If you put it all together, Moshe Rabbeinu planted the seeds in a bizarre way for there to be rebellion, and then he could have pulled himself out of it by Matan Torah with the cue of Mi Yitain, and he missed that one. So I say to myself, why am I learning this right now? Because I'm learning what a human being might trip sometimes, might mess up with bitachon, with emunah, with negativity, but it's not too late because things can turn out okay. And let's look bottom line, when the Maisa Korach happened, the Machokas of Korach happened, and this brings us to where we were last time. Now, why did I do it in this order? Because thoughts came to me. I remember in Chafetz Chaim, I remember in Or HaChaim, they both lead up to the Machokas of Korach. So to summarize briefly, after it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu, surprisingly, unbelievably, incredibly, astonishingly, kind of paused the Maisa Korach by saying they won't believe me, and then could have extricated himself by saying Tein Atah by Matan Torah, and he missed that one. When it comes to the Maisa Korach, he falls on his face out of frustration. We talked about that about 2 weeks ago. But then the punchline that we all have to tap into, and this is very familiar to you because you heard it last time, he says to them, I now know that I need to have bitachon. And one more time, we're going to do chazara on this, but also to zero in on one point of the Sforno and Parshas Korach. Lachain, therefore I've tried to reason with you people, with you rebels. I've told you how you're not being fair, you're not being reasonable. The Ribbono Shel Olam is just, the Ribbono Shel Olam is fair, he's generous, he apportions to everybody what they're supposed to have. Lachain atah v'chol adlav secha hanoadim, in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph in Korach. Therefore you and your whole assembly who are gathered up against me, I have one thing to tell you. The Sforno understands the pasuk. You pause there. Ani Omer Lachem, I will say to you right now, Al Hashem, I cast my burden on Hashem. I will liberate myself. I'll emancipate myself. I'll unburden myself from this impossible burden, this feat which I have to accomplish. I cannot do it because I cannot handle this. It's too much for me. I put it on Hashem. And that's what the Sforno explains in his eloquent way. Al Hashem, de'u, no, sha'ani mashlich al Hashem yohavi, that I cast my burden on Hashem. What every single person has to say when I have too much to deal with parnasa, I have too much to deal with relationships, especially children, parents, siblings, friends, employers, and I have too much to deal with health. It's all too much. And you know what? That's true. It is too much for the human being to deal with. Al Hashem, I cast it on Hashem. Sheit bahu el bonenu, that Hashem is going to demand our disgrace, meaning Hashem will defend us. And I'm going to look at the last five words and then move on, but we have to zero in on them a little bit. Velo eskomem ani aleichem klal, but I will not rise up against you at all. So first he paraphrases the pasuk that David HaMelech wrote down later in Tehillim, Perek Nun Hei, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Hashteich al Hashem, Yehavecha, V'hu Yechal Kolecha. Send your burden on Hashem. It's too much for me. Cast it on Hashem, and He will sustain you. But then, Lo Eskomem Ani Aleichem Klal, I will not rise up against you. The Lashon Eskomem. What does Moshe Rabbeinu mean by that? He already did speak to them. He already did try to reason with them. But he realized that it's not going anywhere. It's gatenished. It's a brick wall. So what I realize is I will not fight with you. I will not become embroiled. So what happened in this case? Moshe Rabbeinu is going at the end of the machlokas to say, Hashem, please, could you clarify, please elucidate, please make it abundantly clear that the authority of Torah Misinai is authentic, and that I am the Navi, because that's supposed to be that way, and Aaron's supposed to be the Kohen God, I'm supposed to be the Melech. It's on Hashem. I will not rise up against you at all. What I did until now was my ishtadlus. What does it teach us about ishtadlus? And now we're going to the Maseilas Yesharim, because the whole goal is to learn about ishtadlus. What do we learn about ishtadlus? There's a certain amount we can do, but at a point, we can't do anything else. And therefore, we should relax. And we should be besimcha. We should be with bitachon, with emuna, and say to ourselves, Hashem, you know, Tati, I've done what I could do. There's nothing else that I could do. It's up to you. And I'm going to relax, and I'm going to turn my attention to what I need to do, what I can do. This is not something that I can do. And that's why we talked about freeing up emotional space in our cognitive device, not to be preoccupied. Mesillas Yesharim tells us, what is bitachon all about? Masheyuchal lishmar es ha'adam, what is able to protect a person, we are in midas tachtidus. What can protect us ahead of time? It's an insurance policy. And what can rescue a person from the deterrence, from the obstacles to serving Hashem and also doing chesed? Is trusting in Hashem. Here is the sterling golden definition of bitachon in six words. Vehu, and that is sheyashlich Yahavo, that he should cast his burden, whatever is burdening him, weighing him down, depressing him, creating anxiety, he should cast that al Hashem on Ribono Shel Olam legamre, totally. Not partially, but totally. And that is the only thing that liberates us from anxiety and from worry, which are so detrimental to ourselves, to our bodies, and to our neshamos. The question now is, what thought brings a person to bitachon? And this is like a crash course in a small but very powerful dose of bitachon material from the Mesillas Yesharim. Asher yeda, and that a person should know, kivada, that it's definite, it is impossible that a person will be missing Masha Niksavlo, what has been set for him. If it's decreed that my health should be a certain way, that is nothing that I can help. That is from Hashem. If I'm supposed to have better health, it is impossible that I won't have it, meaning I definitely will have it. If I'm supposed to have more money or this amount of money, it is 100% definite I'm going to have it. If my relationship is supposed to go this certain way, it is 100% definite and inevitable that it's going to be that way. It's not possible that anybody can take it away from me. This is the Mesillas Yesharim's Lashon. Like the Chazal said, they said it in the Gemara Be'ed Daf Tesayin, Kol Mizonosav Sha'odam Kitzuvim Lamei Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, a person's livelihood, his food, his sustenance, it's all set. The same Amru, it's a Gemara Yuma Dachlamid Chasamid Beid. Ein Adam Nogea, B'muchan L'Chaveiro. No person touches what's been set aside for his friend. That means if I am paranoid and I think, oh, that person took away my parnasa, that person took away my yisur das, he took away my peace of mind, he took away something of mine, I'm making a mistake. Ain adam nogea b'muchan l'chaveru. No person can even touch what's been set aside for someone else. Afilu kimalonima, even a hair's breadth. It's untouchable to the other person. It's off limits. If Hashem wants me to have it, if Hashem wants me to live longer, I'm going to. Now, a person can increase lifespan. And that's called Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim. Fear of Hashem can add on days. We talked about on Shabbos. We said that it says in Kohelet, Eis Laledes. There's a time to be born, the Eis Lamut, and a time to die. And what does Chazal say about that? From the Eis Laledes, from the time that a person's born, it is decreed the Eis Lamut, when the person will die. But actually, it's flexible. It's not etched in stone. Because it says, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim, that the fear of Hashem can add on days. So we're able to prolong our lives. But once we're zocha to that, once we do that, Ein Adam Nogea B'muchan L'Chaveiro, no person can touch what has been set aside for his friend. Afilu Kimalonima, even a hair's breadth. We'll just give you a little teaser. Is it possible to harm somebody, Chas V'Shalom, if Hashem didn't decree it? Is it possible that one person might take someone else's life, Chas V'Shalom, if it wasn't decreed by Hashem? It sounds from certain places that it could go either way, and that's just a little teaser. Perhaps we'll be reminded to revisit that topic later. But once, I can tell you for sure, once it is in Shemayim decreed that a thing is going to happen, it is not just It's not revocable. It's irrevocable. So then the question is, why do we need to work? And that's the question we're going to start and end off today, just beginning that shaila. Where does hishtadlus come in? So the Mesillas Yeshurim tells us, Ukavar hoya adam yachol liyos yoshev uvatel. Technically, a person should have been able to sit in an idle fashion without doing anything. Doesn't that bother anybody? Well, why can't I just do whatever I want to? If it's decreed in heaven, how much money I'm going to have, how much health I'm going to have, how my relationships are going to be, I should be able to sit down and relax and do nothing. Just be on vacation all the time. Very early retirement. The decree would have been fulfilled. But why doesn't that happen? As it says, Imlo shakadam haknas dechol b'nei adam. If not for the fact that a penalty or a knas is a fee or a penalty or a fine has occurred for all human beings. Va'amar said Bereshis in Perikimel and Parshas Bereshis, what did Hashem tell Adam? Bezea sapecha toch alechem. With the sweat of your brow, you will eat food. Now you might say, is that only about panasa that we have to put in some kind of effort? In the Orcha Sadikim, other Sfarim, of course, the Chovas Halavavos, all expand on it, and it's in all three areas. When it comes to health, we have to expend some energy to procure medicines and to try to get capable doctors, but still trusting only in Hashem that He sends all those things. And when it comes to relationships, we have to work on those relationships. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to work on his relationship with Korach and with his family and with Klal Yisrael, but we do the best we can and trust in Hashem. And that's, of course, true about Parnasa. Asher al kein, that therefore says the Maseiros Yesharim, Chayav Adam Lishtadel Ezeh Yishtadlus. A person is obligated to put forth some effort, to invest some type of energy. Ezeh Yishtadlus, the Tzorach Parnasato, to the need of his livelihood, and for all things we need to accomplish and obtain in life, all our needs. Because that's what the lofty king decreed. Hashem made a decree that you have to do that. If you know this already, it's always worthy of review. Behold, this is like a tax that every human being, the whole human species, pays this tax. After it was said to Adam, one cannot escape from it. Look at his terminology, please. It's like a mass. I'm sure that many of you have driven on toll roads. You pay the toll. Well, you used to pay the toll. Now you have like a pre-pass or whatever. Or they send you a letter that says you didn't pay the toll because you didn't know how to do it, and therefore you have to pay $50, however the toll works. But you pay the toll, and you keep driving. You can't say the toll is what has enabled me to get to my destination today. That's the whole story right there. No. That's a tax. So when we pay taxes, or property tax, or sales tax, the tax is what we pay the tax, you just pay it, and that's all. And then the Ribono Shel Olam makes it work for us. That's how the Mishnah of the Charm explains Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is a tax that we pay. It's like a fee. You pay a small fee, and then Ribono Shel Olam causes his brachas as well in what we do. Al-Kain Omer, therefore the Chazal said in the Sifri, Yachal Afila Yoshev Avatel, a person might think, even if he sits idly and does nothing, and he's going to get everything he needs just by sitting there? No, Tamal Omer, the Pasuk says, B'chol Mishlach Yadacha Asher Taseh, and all the sending of your hand which you will do. We have to do. And here, though, is the punchline. Achlo Shahayishtadlus, but it's not that the effort is what accomplishes. That is not what activates and accomplishes. Ela shahayishtadlus muchrach. The effort that we expend and whatever energy we invest is imperative. It's compulsory. But once a person, therefore, did pay that tax of ishtadlus, don't trust in that effort that is what does it for him. No. The person has discharged his or her obligation. I paid my tax of ishtadlus. And therefore, there's already a place for the blessing of Hashem to dwell upon the person. And he doesn't need to wear out, to use up his days and to waste his time with industriousness and diligence and all types of methods to get more and more and to make sure I have it. What is the summary and the conclusion here? The Shabbos is necessary. We have to do it, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who gives us the bracha. We just have to pay that tax, but not to trust in our efforts, to trust only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Hashem, we continue next time. And today we saw the Shabbos in different areas, how we sometimes fall. We can pick ourselves up, take it from here, do better a little bit from now. Yes, Hashem, we're going to elaborate on Shabbos, and we're going to see psukim about it, and we're going to see how much and in what times and in what measure we need to do Shabbos. Thank you so much for joining us. Hashem should give us a bracha on everything that we do in all areas of life, and he should give us the guidance to know how much and what type of ishtadlus, what type of effort we should put forth in our avodas Hashem. Thank you so much.